Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
The big deal.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Ah, it is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old dirty show, T-Mill, a.k.a. Psycho T, a.k.a. the face that produces the place, have the latest. And the latest is we are live. Live on a Thirsty Thursday here at Buffalo Wild Wings, right off 45 on Ritchie Road. Come on off Ritchie Road. You will see us right here, and we'll be here till 6 o'clock. Everything you need. This is a big sports night. MLB playoffs, Thursday night football, Eagles Giants, a big, big game. We'll talk about those things here in a little bit later in 5 o'clock fire, but this is a great spot to be able to check out all of those things. And as I take a look over there, the Bud Light girls are there, and they are throwing footballs over there and enjoying themselves right there. And they can help you enjoy yourself, too. Is that good?
Wait, no, I mean,
was
that creepy? Was that?
No, it was creepy.
Did you enjoy it? Well, if Tyler enjoyed it, then that shows the...
You've been nailing everything.
I thought he was going to go with the video in himself. I didn't know if he was going to go with that and like really leave the
well that too. Yeah,
leave it out there for
the lady.
No, but no, man, it's a good time out here. Again, coming up here in the 5 o'clock hour, our final prize for you to win a projector. You can win that right here. All you got to do is put your name in our raffle box. We will hook somebody up with that in the 5 o'clock hour. But again. Come on out and join us, having a good time here. Thirsty Thursday, Buffalo Wild Wings, as we enjoy ourselves here. All right, we talked a little bit about moves with the staff, and there are more moves as it's been reported. Joe Espada will have a sizable shakeup, and we're already starting to see that with the hitting coach. But even ahead of that, Clint, I think the biggest news to Astros fans is this: Jeremiah Randall. If we had people clapping for the hitting coach being fired, and my God, I'm afraid hear what people say about this. Jeremiah Randall. At first, it was reported earlier that he was fired, but that was incorrect. His contract expired as well, just like the hitting coaches, and he is done at the end of the season. And that is Jeremiah Randall. He has been the head athletic trainer for the Astros for the last 10 years, and he is no longer going to be that there. Tyler is doing a round of applause. My man just yelled and took a drink of his Bud Light and kept it moving. She did not discriminate. She also clapped for Jeremiah Randall as well in his firing. So all the way around, at least she's fair. But this is a move that no one – is really or should be surprised about, and I think this is a move that that Jim Crane had to make. And I'm not even going to say it was all his fault, Clint, but everything that happened here, and I mean, we could take the time to go over everything that's happened in the last 3 years. Hell, last year was embarrassing enough, but they had to make some sort of a move, Clint, with their medical situation.
Yeah, look, there's going to be a lot made about the Astros pitchers and the arms. And I don't look at Jeremiah Randall or any athletic trainer as the reason that guys' arms are popping the way they're popping. That has to do with trying to get extra spin. That has to do with the way that they're strength training. That has to do with all of that stuff. So that kind of epidemic, if you will, or whatever you want to call it, I think a lot of people think of that when you look at what's going on here. But I look directly at if you want to talk about pitchers, you look at how they clearly botched the whole Lance McCullers deal. Whether it was spurs or this or that, it was botched the whole way. You look at how they botched Yordan Alvarez with his hand this year. That doesn't need a second opinion. He goes out there, he goes through BP, boom, needs a second opinion, and it's fractured. You mentioned last year.
Kyle Tucker. Yeah.
Also, you look at this year with Jake Myers with thinking that he was cleared to play, and he goes to jog back out on the field in warm-ups and snaps whatever is in his calf is an issue. I look at all of those kind of in-house type thing. Not, you know, the surgery, the long-term recoveries, all that kind of stuff, even when those guys come back, I believe that's above the pay grade of an athletic trainer. But the day-to-day stuff of whether something needs a second opinion or whether a guy that strained a muscle is ready to go or a guy hit a ball off his shin, hey, man, we're good, don't worry about it, it's not a big deal, let the swelling go down. No, it's actually fractured. Like that kind of stuff is – it seems like there's just way too many to avoid with this Jeremiah Randall cat. I just don't know how you survive all of that.
Well, it feels like the Astros have had – they've had issues over the last several years with the injuries, and it just seemed more than the norm from other teams. And it just seemed out of the ordinary, whether it be injuries to begin with, the arms as you talked about, or guys coming back too soon, or guy, like whatever. It just like we reached a point of it was like, well, damn, it always just seemed to happen to them. And at that point, man, Jim Crane had to look at the whole thing and said, man, maybe it ain't your fault, Jeremiah. Maybe it's not completely you, but something that we are doing over, you know, from an overall standpoint, something that we're doing, we've got to change. And just like, you know, maybe it's not your fault, Alex Santron, as a hitting coach, but something's got to change because this is just not the direction we need to go.
Well, I think with Jeremiah Randall and the athletic training situation. Like I think part of your job is to direct and inform the manager and the general manager so that they can then talk to the media.
Yes.
And in whatever fashion they want to. And it seems like that was always wrong.
Yeah.
And look, that may be – it didn't seem like Dana Brown and Joe Espada met.
I was about to say, they seemed like they had different meetings with different –
right. Right, so but that whole thing was just a mess, man, and that is just hard for somebody to survive that right there. And once again, you're talking about a guy that was part of the last regime, and so you better be flawless if you're going to stick around with these kind of problems and survive these kind of problems. You better have a real strong relationship with ownership, and clearly theirs isn't strong enough.
I thought the Yordan Alvarez thing, somebody should have lost their job immediately. Like somebody was responsible for, hey man, all right, he hurt his hand. All right, we're not going to really do some imaging. We're going to have him go and take some live BP. Man's complaining about his hand. We do some imaging. Oh, shoot. That thing been broke.
It's been broke long enough to be 60%
healed. It's so broke,
healed.
It's more than halfway healed. Now we just got to sit you down for another. You know, that whole scenario,
yep,
because of how it happened to begin with and then who it is, that's the other thing is, Jim's got to be thinking, this ain't just regular folks getting hurt. This is, I'd invested in $85 million on Lance, and he's missing three seasons. Like, I've invested money on Yordan. I can't get him healthy. I want to try to potentially invest some money or at least squeeze everything I can out of Kyle Tucker, and he's got to miss 80 games because you guys can't figure out if his shin is broken or not. And then, it's not just low-level guys. It's. I'm not gonna single out some guys. I mean, it ain't. This ain't Jesus Sanchez. These are the big names that you need. Justin Verlander just said to hell with y'all. I'm not even going to deal with y'all no more. I'm going to deal with my own medical team.
I mean, the only one position player-wise that seemed to go smooth was Bregman, right? When Bregman, whatever was going on with his elbow, when he kind of played through it and said, I'm just going to come. Like, that's the only one that you can say worked out in his, like, player that kept playing and played through it and survived and actually was all right.
I'd like to get the skinny on what the rib issues was really for Jeremy Payne. That kid seemed to keep him out a lot longer. Also, other moves.
Even that one snuck back up on him, didn't it?
It did. Well, the oblique. It snuck in. Yeah, I forgot about it. That ended his season. Other news, other moves they made, they went ahead and removed the assistant hitting coach as well. And the catching coach, defensively that was so bad, yeah, you got to go too. So maybe it ain't your fault. Maybe it ain't your fault, Mike. But your ass got to go.
Yeah, that was that's got to be the second one right behind the trainer, right? I mean, from the volume of the applause, I think the trainer's one.
The catching coach
has to be two. I mean, I know Citron was on thin ice with a lot of folks, but the catching coach has got to be.
Yeah, catching coach over there. Oh, Mike over there saying, ain't nobody saying a damn thing when Machete was over there.
Nah, when Maldonado was back there.
Maldonado was over there.
He had job security.
Nobody thought I was a great coach. Now we get these next jokers in here. And we got first baseman still in the bases at wheel.
Hey, man, I tell you, I got to – that's the damnedest thing. The way runners would just run around them bases.
That is the one thing I will guarantee.
How did the spotter never get pressed on that?
Yeah.
Like, hey, Bubba, are they – because, I mean, I'm one to think that they had to be stealing them bases on the pitchers. There's no major league – there's no major league catcher that bad.
I would just imagine it ain't just one thing how bad it was.
But there had to be
a combination of
there has things. To be something that was just like egregious. Like the man, look, you say what you want about Diaz or Caratini, they're not that bad. I mean, half the time they didn't even throw. Yeah. Half the time they were like, "Oh hell."
It was for me how easily teams would steal third base. That was third base with left-handers in the box. How easy teams would run
with a high and outside pitch.
I mean, yeah, it was rough. But I guarantee you that improves. If there's one thing that will improve. I will guarantee that percentage will improve.
That was a no-brainer for me.
5 o'clock fire.
Thanks, Joe. All right, Thursday night football tonight, and you can watch that here, Buffalo Wild Wings, Eagles and Giants. And, Clint, this feels like a game that should be a blowout, right? It feels like you got a Giants team that's young, that is struggling or not really struggling, but they got a first-year quarterback that's in his third start of the year and still trying to find his way. Like, this feels like a game against the defending Super Bowl champs coming off of a loss at home in which they blew a second-half lead that should be a blowout. But coming into the game, and Clint, I'm really intrigued by your thoughts when you hear this. Coming into this game, there are reports that Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, and Saquon Barkley had a long, productive conversation earlier in the week that lasted a couple of hours. So they didn't have a full team meeting, but they had a us three guys team meeting for a team that's 4-1 that is that's coming off the Super Bowl. Your thoughts when you hear that it feels like this is a bit of an aggressive turn right now.
Well, I just bet Jalen Hurts is got to be eye rolling again. I mean, you win a Super Bowl, you're 4-1, and you know what this is about. I mean, I just said it earlier. I mean, it's been a story for 3 weeks now that A.J. Brown's not happy because he's not getting enough targets. And say what you want. I mean, you can tell by his responses that he's at least aggravated or annoyed. And then Saquon Barkley, this is the longest streak, I think, of Saquon Barkley's career of not having a 100-yard game. And so Jalen Hurts got to go meet with these two cats that ain't happy. They're 4-1. I mean, instead of looking at it like, hey, man, if we can get Saquon going, if we can get A.J. going, hell, we're gonna make a run. We're going to be 16-1. You know, we're looking at it trying to keep guys happy. And so I just – there's nothing more frustrating than a team that wins and wins constantly, and there's still somehow turmoil in the building from the players. I mean, you can understand the media and everybody else. You can understand that. But from a player perspective, man, especially after winning a Super Bowl.
Well,
you know, I mean, it's you got paid not once but twice if you're A.J. Brown, I believe. You've won a Super Bowl. Nobody's sitting around going, man, you can't play no more. I mean, if they decided to move you right now, you'd go somewhere, you'd play, and you'd get paid.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of a couple of things working here. I think it is a little weird that they've had this level of success. They lost their first game last week, the first one in like maybe they won 18-19 or something like that. They had a long streak that it feels like a 3-hour meeting between the two of them without the offensive coordinator, the new offensive coordinator. Maybe he should be a part of that too, because maybe he's the question. There's a bit of that feels like it's a little much. But I think there is also a deal of Saquon Barkley, and I think Jalen probably feels this way too, and A.J. Brown. There is a part of like, hey, our offense shouldn't be running like this. Like, I know we've won games, but our offense shouldn't be running to where we just get shut out for halves. Or our offense shouldn't be running where we have all the players we have. Because Devontae Smith is not happy either. It's been reported to him that we have our quarterback go 0-for-8 for an entire second half. Like, I think there's a part of like, hey, man, we have got to pick this up. We have too many parts around here for our offense to be struggling.
I think
there's a little bit. There's some of that in there too, no, which I don't think is just like.
No, there is some of that. And if you were the Giants, then yeah, I mean, you have a meeting. But when you're the best team in the league and you've lost one game and you're fresh off a Super Bowl win, like, we don't need to meet on all this stuff. Everybody understands, hey, we need to get better. We've got to be better offensively. I've got to throw it better. And, hey, AJ, yeah, we got to target you a little bit more. And I got to get the ball to you a little bit more. We don't disagree with that. But to start having meetings with it makes you –
3 or 4 hours.
I mean, it's always – oh, yeah, 3 or 4. It's always something with them. But, I mean, look, if you thrive in that adversity, and that's how they won a Super Bowl with guys reading books on the sideline.
The Saquon thing is weird. The fact they cannot seem to get their running game going, that is strange. That man ran 2,000 yards plus and probably could have broke the record if he'd have played and continued in the playoffs.
By the way, I'd have had to get back in that. I wouldn't have been a Mr. Nice Guy right there.
If you were Saquon,
I'd have had to get back in that game. Yeah, I got to suit up and get in that game. I can't give this to the young fellas.
He didn't even suit up. He didn't even have pads for that one.
I mean, I tell you right now, Emmitt Smith's still running around making millions of dollars signing autographs because he's a top.
They wouldn't have kept Emmitt off the field.
No, hell no. Hell, Emmitt stuck around about 3 years in the league just to get it. Yeah, no, shoot. I mean, he's still making millions on them autograph sessions, man. Everywhere he goes, I mean, it's Emmitt, Super Bowl champ, yep. All-time leading rusher, baby.
Oh, God. All right, coming up as we continue, there's a new number one. There is a new number one when it comes to the Houston Texans. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Attack that ass.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings and I-45 in Ritchie, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, make a little noise out here as we're having a good time. Thirsty Thursday, Buffalo Wild Wings. Every single Thursday we're out here at Buffalo Wild Wings. Every Thursday, different location around the city, we hit Buffalo Wild Wings. This one, on this Thursday, we are here live right now until 6 o'clock at the location right off Ritchie Road. So you can still make your way on out here, man. It's a good way to start your Thursday. You can be like my man Wood right here, coming on in here and have himself a good drink. I mean, them braids is laid, Jack. I'm telling you, boy, them braids is late, baby. If I can keep my hair like that, if I can still have that growth, baby, I know I don't have a chance. But if I can still have that growth.
You got a chance, man. You somehow moving to Houston, somehow your hair's come back.
You're right. I gotta be positive.
Get down here around all these chemical plants, man. It makes your hair grow, cuz.
I gotta be positive. Text line, as we were talking about the Thursday night football game, A.J. Brown starting to act like Antonio Brown. Let's slow down just a bit, guys. I mean, we don't have to get that far.
I don't think he's going to take his shirt off and run off the field.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
but
I don't,
reading the book on the sideline and people acting like that's normal blew my mind. Like, I mean, literally to turn the TV on, people like, oh, yeah, man, he was reading this book. It was a self-help book, man. It's teaching him how to make – come on, man, what are we doing?
It's to keep himself centered. Are you kidding me? Keep himself centered field, baby.
Reading a book on the bench, not a depth player, not a young player. No, a veteran that is Is he the highest paid player on that team other than Jalen?
Yeah, I would think so.
We normalize that somehow.
And maybe that tackles make him more. AJ Brown, man. AJ Brown is a guy who doesn't pay people who work for him. Like, he hires people and doesn't pay and throws furniture off the top of buildings.
AB was like a special. He's a special kind of POS. There ain't no doubt about it.
Yeah,
he ain't quite there yet. I agree with you. I'm sorry. I went to laying out why AJ Brown is a different bird. In reality, I should have just said no. He's not on that.
Didn't Antonio just get arrested for attempted murder or something? Yeah. Tyler, wasn't that him? Yeah,
if he did. I don't know.
Yeah, yes. I think they slid through it, but he was wasn't he shooting in the crowd?
It was something that happened a while back that was apparently in court.
I mean, it's the last six months.
They proved it was him.
I mean, he's the type of crazy you got to do something about sooner rather than later because someone will legit get hurt.
He's out there. Yeah, he's nuts. So I don't think AJ's there yet, man. I don't think he's there yet. All right. Clint, let me ask you this. The people, you can jump in, 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. Also, you can participate as always. Hell, you do whatever the hell you want every day. Is the offensive line, is that still your number one concern on this football team?
No, sir.
It isn't, because that's what it was all year. It's not your number one. It's no longer your number one concern. First off, that's a positive thing. That's a real positive thing because you thought that that's going to kill the team. That has shifted. What's shifted, or if there's just one thing, what things jump to your mind as a concern more than the offensive line, since that's not number one?
Well, I tell you what shifted is C.J. Stroud playing the style and brand of quarterback that he's played the last couple of weeks that protects the offensive line. As I've said for a year plus now, is if your quarterback plays a different brand, your offensive line is not asked to be perfect every damn snap. It's hard to be bad. I mean, you're not going to be great, but it's hard to be the reason that you can't win a ball game if your offensive coordinator and your quarterback are jiving and they're playing the right brand. Then the offensive line problems, for the most part, get figured out or covered up. I like what Nick Caley's done. I like what C.J. Stroud has done, and in turn, I think I'm less concerned about the O-line than I have been in a long time.
Yeah, well, it's odd. I didn't think 5 weeks into the season that it would be that way. Especially if you told me, hey, Ron, about week two, for about the next two or three weeks, they're gonna have a left guard competition in game, like not just in practice, no, in game, man. They're doing line changes with their left guard spot, which you don't generally see. But I'm with you. I don't view that as there. I think there are a couple of things to me that I look at that moving on for them to try to get in the postseason, I have bigger concerns with.
Yeah, I mean, there's
Nick Caley would be at the top of my
look,
list.
When you're sitting at 2-3, there's going to be a concern when you're talking about the expectations or double digit wins in the second round of the playoffs. You're sitting at 2-3. There's going to be concerns. Absolutely. I think they've answered some questions. Of late, and I'll be honest with you, I've got, for me, the only way that Nick Caley and C.J. Stroud can continue to trend in the right direction is if their receivers are able to create separation immediately off the football.
That would be one of mine too.
And if teams come in and they're zone heavy teams, which a lot of teams are, they're zone heavy, right? C.J. and everybody's told us a million times that the league is now a too high safety league. So you may see a lot of zone, and I think Dalton Schultz is great versus that. I think when you look at Xavier Hutchinson and Christian Kirk, great versus that. Nico's a monster. He can beat whatever. But if he's the only monster you got, you could have problems. So the problem is when you get teams that are going to be willing to, whether it's a team that's just in a critical situation, in a critical moment in the game like Seattle, or you get into the playoffs and you're playing a great football team, then all of a sudden – they have the ability to suffocate you. And if you don't have anybody other than Nico that can separate, then you've got a major problem. And I'm not confident in anybody not named Nico separate, which means that C.J. Stroud's going to have to hold the football longer, which then means we're back to the same old stuff. We have to ask our tight ends to block edge rushers. We're going to have to ask this offensive line that is not great at pass protecting. We have to ask them to protect for two or three extra seconds. That's a problem. So that spells disaster. So that's my biggest concern right now.
Those are bigger concerns right now for me. I do think that I would hold out the possibility, and I think it is a. I think it's not a reach. I think it's a possibility. The possibility that some of the guys they have in house grow to be able to be more. More of a factor. I think Noel, specifically the rookies, Noel and Higgins, I think there is still space that we could be looking at week 11 or week 12 and then something has clicked where they can answer that.
Yeah, look, I think Woody Marks is the real deal. I think Woody –
because something has clicked already in 5 weeks with him.
Well, I think there's going to be opportunities to do even more with him. In the situations I'm talking about, whether when they dropped in safeties down a little bit and they tighten the coverage up and they start trying to suffocate you, I think there's a guy that can shine, and that's Woody Marks in a major, major way. The other one, obviously, is Christian Kirk. Is this a hamstring or is this Father Time? What the hell's going on with Christian Kirk? Yeah. We'll see come Monday. Because come Monday – it's a great tune, by the way. Come Monday, there's going to be an excuse, right? I mean, you're going to be he will have played two ball games or three ball games? Two?
Jacksonville.
Played three.
Yeah, three ball games.
He will
games,
have played three ball games had and had week. 2 weeks off. So we're a month plus into this hamstring rehab. He should be full go. So we should get whatever version of Christian Kirk is in there still, we should get that against Seattle. So, I like Woody Marks. I like Christian Kirk. I don't know if Noel's going to get on the field enough. I don't think Higgins is a guy that right now is going to be a consistent man beater. Can he run a go route? Can he catch a 50-50 ball? Yeah, but what I'm talking about is a great route runner, a sudden route runner where you make yourself available to the quarterback right now, and you have to, or the quarterback's going to get hit in the face kind of deal. I'm not ready to lean on him in that department yet. What we really need to do is get Tank Dell's ass back.
Yeah, that would change the team. I don't know if that is something.
When I was talking about making a trade yesterday for a tight end, I think the Texans need to, for a pass catcher, whether it's a high end tight end or a wide receiver. Larry hit me with that. Hey man, Tank's gonna come back. I said, boy, I hope you're right. I mean, I am the president of the Tank Dell fan club. He is exactly what you need. I hope like hell. I hope he comes back, and I hope he is ready to play and take contact. I just don't know how quick that's going to happen.
I mean, Larry?
Don't do it.
It's been as – he's been closer to Joe Mixon in terms of us hearing his progress.
Tone's been better when they've addressed it.
The tone's been better. I'm just talking about just his progress, where he is. It's been closer to Joe Mixon than maybe than other guys. So we'll see. I don't know. Someone texting running back is my biggest concern. I don't know. I feel a lot better about the running game with Woody Marks.
Yeah, no. I mean,
it seems like they're starting to find their spots.
The concern with the running back is the same thing with the quarterback and play caller, right? I mean, if we get into a spot where they can't move the down line, then the running back's going to struggle. I mean, that's a big question mark going into this game, because I do think it's something that we can see improve in a big way. Not improve from Baltimore to Seattle. I'm talking about versus good opponents based on what we saw versus Seattle. I could see this team getting some really good push up front against a good opponent.
That's interesting. Let's kind of look at that. Can they – they've run the ball really well lately. Is that something that they can continue doing? These next four games may determine their season, right? And these are really good defenses and better teams. Can they continue to do things like that, run the football like they've had? They rushed for almost 170 yards against the Ravens. Is that something they can continue? We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings at I-45 in Ritchie, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, this has been a fun, fun Thirsty Thursday. We appreciate everybody in the house that came out to hang out with us. Those of you who've left, who are riding, I've seen several of you text in to let us know you enjoyed coming in and hanging out with us. We greatly appreciate you taking the time to come on out and hang out with us. By the way, tomorrow is a football Friday. It is. Yes, it is a bye week, but that don't mean we don't get out on a football Friday. We will be in Katy tomorrow. In Katy, Boomer Jacks. Boomer Jacks tomorrow in Katy. Come on out and hang out with us. It's always a good time. You got a chance to win future Texans tickets. You got a chance to win Academy Sports and Outdoor gift cards, a Tomball Ford oil change, free oil change, so many things to win. Those tickets, by the way.
Did you say tickets?
I said tickets. I said future future tickets. By the way, those are courtesy of our good friends at Houston Ford Dealers. But you can come out and have a chance to win and hang out with us. And I haven't been to Boomer Jacks. I've seen it. I saw it built up. Heard great things about it in the Katy area. Not been to one yet.
I've not been to one yet either.
I heard Sean Pendergast talking about it.
I mean, I'm a fan of a solid sports bar now. So
there you go.
Let's see what they're bringing to the table.
See where they are. But we'll be there tomorrow on a Football Friday, 2-6 in Katy. Again, before we get out of here, I want to send a shout out to Bud Light, Bud Light, and the Bud Light girls who come in. And also helped us get this together here Thursday Thursdays. Also, Buffalo Wild Wings, the great staff. They've been fantastic here. Our promo staff, Andy, our engineer, keeping us on the air and on YouTube and Twitch. And, of course, Tyler back at the station doing his thing as well. We appreciate everybody who's played a part in helping us stay on the air. Coming up in a bit. Texans All Access, after we get done, they will follow us. And then Thursday Night Football, the Eagles and the Giants. You can listen to that right here on Sports Radio 610, 7 o'clock after Texans All Access. That's courtesy of our good pals at Westwood One. That's what Tyler typed in, so I'll say it.
Looking at it right now, and I have totally forgotten what
our
I put
good,
in there.
Our good pals.
That's tight, Tyler.
That's tight, Tyler. Our good pals at Westwood One. And, hey, folks, Tyler's on the roll now. 5 for 5 last night on T-Mill's Best Bets.
Hitter!
And trust me, when we know Tyler's doing good is when we get that text message. And we got that text message late last night. And I'll just say, there was a lot of green. He went more than 5 for 5, I'll tell you that right now.
Well, hey, before I got married, I used to love waking up to text messages. I wake up to text messages now, it's 99.9% Tyler.
And see, listen,
and you're
I know.
I mean, back in the day, it was beautiful. What would I miss out on? What was going on?
I ain't going to put Tyler's
Tyler.
I ain't going to put Tyler's business out there. But I'm going to tell you this. One of the things I was thinking was, damn, Tyler had a good night. And then the other thing I was thinking is, boy, there was a lot riding on that. There was a lot of action. There was a lot of just there was a
big slate.
There was a big slate. Like all my mind, I could think is if that going the other way.
I mean,
here's the beauty of T Mills. The beauty of T Mills.
That was a long text, a long list.
The beauty of T Mills best bets is you can let him weather the storm. And then when he gets hot, you can pick a couple that tickle your fancy a little bit. Not that you always gonna win them, but at least you can let him ride the wave, and then you catch it at the high point.
Yeah. Listen, Tyler gets hot. It's usually 5, 6, 7. It may be a good week plus. Tyler gets hot. So if you want to jump on that bandwagon, T Mills best bets coming up in just a bit. And always, if you're late, he has some posted at. At his Twitter, T Mill Real.
With one L. T Mill Real Deal.
All right, that's coming up here in just a bit. All right, Clint, you brought that up. Like, you think that is something that continues. See, I'm a little skeptical on that. I do. That's one of the big things that I am really intrigued to watch when they go up and play Seattle Monday night after the bye week is they rush for almost 130 yards, 35 carries, right? They had the ability to stick to it.
Yeah.
35 carries against the Titans, and they rushed for almost 130 yards and multiple touchdowns. They had 167 yards on 35 carries against the Ravens. That is something that I don't know that I believe is going to translate with these next four games of Seattle, the 49ers, the Jags, who they struggled running the ball against earlier this year. I wonder if that will translate. That one I'm intrigued to see because I'm not 100% sure on that one.
Well, I'm not 100% sure on any of them, but I do love what Cole Popovich and Nick Caley have done in that regard. It just seems to me like, you know, the receivers running routes, that wasn't nothing new. We've seen them. You know, the penalties, I think, is, because you're not straining and struggling as you will when you face a better opponent. I'm not too sure about those. But when we talk about the O-line improvement, I think you can watch the game and see there was a change in what they were doing. Right? I mean, I think there is not only a change in what they're doing, it's almost like they decided to use some level of physicality in offensive line play. Right? And I don't mean that disrespectful.
You think that was the change?
I don't mean that disrespectful to them. I tell the story all the time. Wade Smith told me, I mean, it's probably 2 years ago, maybe even 3 years ago. You know, he said, Clint, you got to quit looking at this like it's when we played ball, man. I mean, these kids, from the time that they're young, they're trained a different way, and it's more of shielding than it is blocking.
Bro.
And it's they're trained a different way, so we're just not going to see it. But yet I would turn on Detroit, and they're doing it like the guys in the early 2000s was doing it.
Yeah.
You know, you turn on Philly, and they're doing it like guys in the early 2000s are doing it. And so I just chalked up what was going on in Houston through a couple of different head coaches and a couple of different offensive play callers and said, okay, man, I guess it's just a change. I guess it's just the way that they play offensive line nowadays in Houston. There has been a shift the last couple of weeks. And there's been a shift in a lot of things because of the opponent. I get that. I can watch the film and see there are two guys on a double team that are pushing with everything they got, trying to pancake a defensive tackle. I can honestly say I've watched every game multiple times for 6 years, and I don't remember seeing that once.
I've seen Dalton Schultz try to.
That is the extreme.
Tight ends too.
Now we move to the extreme part of this that really makes me feel like there's some kind of fire was lit under their ass, and it wasn't just a sorry opponent, right?
Yeah.
Dalton Schultz and the tackles on this team. I mean, Dalton Schultz tried to run a safety 10, 15 yards down the line, down the deal.
I don't know what got into him.
Nobody's seen that, right? You look at what Xavier Hutchinson was able to do on some of those insert himself inside the box and then lead up on the safety two different times. I mean, he was running up there and holding his own against an NFL safety. Like, that's been – I mean, I've watched that happen, and I could see the receiver was scared out of his shoes before the ball was ever snapped. All of a sudden, there's a guy out there doing it like he belongs. I just do not believe – that had everything to do with a weaker opponent. I think that was somebody lit a fire under somebody's ass that we're going to do things a little different and we're going to move folks.
Yeah. We'll see. Because they were able to do it the fourth quarter, especially second half against the Titans. They did have some struggles, and Jeffrey Simmons is one of the best in the league.
Sure.
So he's going to be a problem. But Seattle, I'd be sold a little bit more if we see that.
Yeah, and look, I'm not saying that they're going to go in there and rush for 200 yards against Seattle, but you know it as well as anybody. I mean, it's human nature. If you become a punching bag, every opponent that comes in there they're going to strike fear. They're going to strike downhill. They're going to feel a lot more comfortable about bullying you and pushing you around. The Texans have been that punching bag, I think, in how they play for a while.
Yeah.
To be completely honest with you, and it looks like They're trying to buck that trend and change their way, and I think just that simple effort. Take Dalton Schultz as the extreme example. I don't know who lit it, but Dalton Schultz is hot right now.
Yeah. All right, T-Mill's best bets. Let's get to him. He was 5 for 5 last night. He's going to go. I'm guessing a lot of Thursday night football in this thing, as opposed to playoff baseball. But let's hear it. T-Mill's best bets. What you got tonight?
Yes, sir. No better way to spend our money, get some money, than some Thursday night football, because we've been nailing it. Thursday night football lately, we're hitting like 75 or 77% of our bets for best bets right here on the drive. So I got 4 for you tonight, coming off the perfect 5 for 5 last night. Keep the heater going. Giants +8. I teased that a little bit. The line has been hovering around 7, 7.5 for the Giants taking on the Eagles. But I teased it to +8 tonight. I like the over in this one. I think it's gone up a little bit since I placed my wager, but I like anything under 43 or 44. I'm on over 39 points tonight between the Eagles and the Giants at your second bet. And then two player props real fast, one from each squad. First, a guy we've talked about a bit today, A.J. Brown. I got over 4.5 receptions for him. And then maybe my lock of the damn night and week, Young Scatabo. over 47.5 rushing yards. If it was anything under 60, I would be hammering that bet. Over 47.5 rush yards for young Cam. Those are your four best bets.
Well, I got good news for you on that Cam Scataboo bet.
What's that?
Jalen Carter's been ruled out. He's inactive tonight.
That's big, yeah.
Damn, so I that's, placed that's that a big.
The Cowboys ran all over them when he was out that yeah. first game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that number's gone up. Tyler, what's that number at?
Ooh, I'll have to check.
Yeah, Cheryl? Check that for me, man. I may get on that one. Get Cheryl on that one.
Let me tell you something. He makes more people make business decisions than I've seen in a long time. Cam Scataboo is – I said this about Brooks, British Brooks for the Texans. This dude here, he doesn't give a damn about his body. He is trying to lay people out. He, like, if he was in college, Cam should be called for targeting two or three times a game.
I see you. I see you doing it on social media. Would you quit trying to get the running back in trouble?
Listen, dog. I'm just telling you, man. This is
you're making it worse.
The targeting thing is ridiculous. You as a running back should be able to use the crown of your helmet to go and take off at somebody.
If somebody wants to come and make contact with me, I should be able to use my head.
Yeah, he does it. They get up and say, great job. A defensive player does it. Your ass is ejected for this game and the first half of the next one. Come on now. Get these rules together.
I see you over here trying to wussify the game even more. I see you.
No, I don't. Let's let them all be able to use it then.
By the way, Scataboo, 47.5.
Jalen Hurts might get it. He may get himself.
Give me 100.
Jalen might get sacked 4 or 5 times tonight. I'll be honest with you.
Nah. Eagles finna blow him out.
I'm not saying they're going to lose. I ain't going to say they ain't going to lose or they ain't going to win, but they're going to get his ass. Brian Burns is a problem and the rest of them jokers over there. All right. Again, remember, tomorrow we're in Katy at Boomer Jacks. Come hang out with us on a Football Friday. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. Everybody here who came to hang out with us, we appreciate you. I am Ron, the show. Hughley, as always. Houston, we love you, baby. And the world's all right with me. Just projector to set up on in the house, outside. You can do what you want to do. Do you still use the word tight?
Got to go Tuco on them sometimes, man.
Mid-30s, 40s, all of a sudden decide you want to go heavy tight. Like that just ain't.
I'm no stranger to the tight. It's regular for me.
The tight what?
But you've been in there.
The word, Clint. Grow up, bro.
Oh.
Come on, man. Thirsty Thursday. Yeah. It's not getting nasty.
Well, I mean, I'm just telling you.
Angles. But make your way on out here and come on out and have a tight time.
Oh, tight, 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 yeah. The dead lies ahead
of me. Hey, thank you, Tyler Milner.